May the Lord help us to commence our services today by singing hymn 618. The path that Christians tread to reason's eye is strange. Through regions of the dead they frequently must range. 10,000 monstrous beasts of prey beset the soul by night and day. Hymn 618.
This morning I wish to read from two portions of God's holy word. Firstly, the book of Proverbs and chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honour when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now let us turn to the Gospel according to John. John chapter 13, and we will read the first 17 verses. John John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to us and help us in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we plead the precious name and blood of Jesus Christ. We seek for help as we come before thee in prayer. And Lord, we thank thee for the throne of grace. We thank thee for the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. And we come pleading that mercy through blood. Do grant us that reverence of thy great and thy holy name. For Lord, we come into thine earthly courts, and thou hast said that heaven is thy throne, and that the earth is thy footstool. And O Lord, thou hast been pleased to institute the Church of God, given promises that thy presence will be in the midst, ordained the ministry of the word, appointed deacons to be over the church, to minister to the needs of the poor and the needy. And O Lord, we thank thee for the gathering together, and that thou hast said, Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And Lord, we are warned that it is the manner of some that do forsake. And O Lord, we do seek not only a gathering together, but also that fellowship, as iron sharpeneth iron, so the countenance of a man his friend, and that there might be that encouraging in the way of holiness and in the way of righteousness. O Lord, do grant us thy blessing upon thy word this day. Bless thy word this morning, the hymns that we sing, our worship here. And O Lord, may each soul here, the youngest unto the oldest, be precious in thy sight, that thou wouldst speak to their hearts, open their eyes, give them spiritual life. And Lord, do thou grant ears to hear what thy Spirit saith unto the churches. O Lord, let not any pass from coming and being amongst the living to be forever amongst the dead. But may we not only be with thy people, but be thy people. May we not only appear to be in the ways of the Lord, but truly be so. Lord, we do seek that blessing of being taught of God, and that we might be brought through this world by thy grace, and have grace and glory. O Lord, do bless us in our souls this day. We do pray, Lord, that thou hast granted us the aid and help of thy Holy Spirit, without which no good shall be done, no power attending the word, no souls saved, no souls comforted and blessed. O Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from us, but do grant us that Spirit of which the apostles were bid to tarry at Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. We pray that thou would remember the friends here in their afflictions and in their weaknesses, those who have ventured in pain, it may be, and weakness, and those who cannot come today. Lord, may those who do hear be able to bring something back to them and speak to them of thy word. O Lord, may the word that is recorded be blessed to them. O Lord, we do seek that thou hast make those things work together for good, that thou hast called us to pass through, and that way that we walk, do grant, Lord, that it might be that thou hast order our footsteps by thy word, and that thou hast grant that we might see that all things do work together for good, for our spiritual good, that we might know that we are the called according unto thy purpose. O Lord, do bless each here with that great blessing of being called of God. Lord, we do seek that thou hast comfort those in distress, those in bereavement. Remember those in soul trouble, those who seek thee, those who are anxious and concerned about their souls, about where they will spend eternity, those who are often dismayed at what they see in their own walk and conduct, in their thoughts and in their affections. Lord, those for whom sin is a trouble, but to them they feel it is not trouble enough, or those, O Lord, who feel that they have come short and yet do not have that hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We seek, Lord, that thou hast lead thy people on, and that thou hast add another line, another precept, even this day. O Lord, bless thy people with peace. For thou hast said, in me shall have peace, in the world You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. O Lord, do grant us thy blessing as we come into thy sanctuary, and deliver us from the world and the spirit of it, and the end of it, which is destruction. For heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word shall not, and thy people shall dwell for ever with thee in heaven. And, O Lord, do grant us that heaven might be our desired haven, and that we might be brought safely there. O save us from our sins, the power and dominion of them. Do grant unto us that real repentance daily and hourly, a broken and a contrite heart, one that trembleth at thy word. O do forgive our many black, deep-dyed sins in word and thought and deed. Lord, how oft we are dismayed, amazed, and Lord, tremble at the iniquity and sin we feel within. O Lord, we know that in us there dwelleth no good thing. For Lord, our hearts deceitful are, so full of iniquity, so full of every unclean thing. O Lord, wash us, sanctify us, make us meet for the Master's use. Bless us with thy word to dwell in us richly, and the fear of God before our eyes. Do bless this cause of truth, and Lord, as thou hast given them a goodly number, yet still add to them. And Lord, bless each of their families. And Lord, do remember those that are round about in this town of Swavesey. O Lord, do work savingly in their hearts. May there be those constrained to come in and to hear thy word here. And Lord, that they might come in and not fear that they should be dealt with in an evil way, but the language might be, come with us and we will do thee good. O Lord, we do seek that there might be those that come in as strangers and be brought to be dear, beloved brethren. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst help us to be what thou wouldst have us to be in our day and in our generation. And Lord, we pray for those in authority over us. We commit unto thee our land at this time. The powers that be are ordained of thee. And we seek that we might clearly see thy hand in the events of our nation. We confess how we have so provoked thee, so made it a matter of pride that we uphold things that are wicked and evil in thy sight. And Lord, we do confess that thou hast brought upon us the confusion and the state of things as they are. But O Lord, forsake us not. Be pleased to grant a spirit-led revival in this land. And Lord, may we see not only thy judgments and thy dealing with us, but that we might see those hopes for good. Lord, that thou art in the matter, and that there might yet be a revival. Oh, do raise up those in our parliaments who shall be unafraid to declare thy word and to walk according to it. Oh, Lord, we do seek this mercy of thy hand. Help us then, and do be with us in the world, but not of it. Set our affections on things above. May our home be there, our hopes be there. And do grant unto us that we might not fall away by the wayside, but that we might be found not only at the beginning, but at the end, still on that way, still desiring a heavenly home. O Lord, forgive us what we ask amiss. Accept of our thanks for every blessing and every favour, especially the blessings of salvation in the gift of thy beloved Son, the precious blood shed at Calvary and the empty tomb. We thank thee for the gospel. We thank thee for every blessing and every gift that thou hast given us. O Lord, thou art a good, a gracious, a long-suffering God, and we bless thee for thy mercies and the conduct of thy grace. We seek now that thou hast granted us thy word graciously and speak through it, and do get to thyself honour and glory in the salvation of thy people. We ask thee these things through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 783. Oh, what a narrow, narrow path is that which leads to life. Some talk of works and some of faith, with warmth and zeal and strife. But after all that's said or done, let men think what they will. The strength of every tempted son consists in standing still. Hymn 783.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 4, the chapter that we read. Reading for our text, just the first six words of verse 26. Verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet. Ponder the path of thy feet. With the Proverbs, we seldom get one or two verses that actually join together with a teaching that runs right through. They are individual instructions, very often in each verse. But in this chapter, there are many verses that speak of the path and the way that we are to walk. We are told in verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. In verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, I have led thee in right paths. And verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. And so then it does lead to the last verses from verse 23. And there are several things that are directed there. First, it's the heart, keep thy heart with all diligence. Then it is in verse 24, thy mouth, a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Then in verse 25, it's thine eyelids, look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And then in verse 26, the words of our text, ponder the path of thy feet. That is, ponder, meaning consider carefully. Think about the path of our feet. I want to think first, though, of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read, and I may refer to it several times there in John, where our Lord speaks of himself coming into this world and then to go out of this world unto the Father. The eternal Son of God made flesh and dwelt among us, and he walked through this world. He went through this world. And his whole aim, his whole purpose, and the reason of coming was to go unto Calvary and to lay down his life for his people. The demands of the law that demanded that his people as sinners must die, he would take that and he would die for them. Bear their sins in his own body upon Calvary's tree. And his whole life, his whole reason for coming, the reason for being a man, the reason for all that he did was for that end in view. Even at 12 years of age, and some of you children here may be nearly that perhaps, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And that was his desire. One of the reasons why he walked this world was so that he would work a righteousness for his people. His life was a perfect life. The paths that he walked, he never sinned in them. He never stumbled in them. He never did anything wrong. He never thought anything wrong. Everything of his life from a babe from within the womb until he died was perfect. And that is to be imputed to his people that believe, as if their life was his life, as if his life was their life, so that when his people stand before the throne of God, God doesn't look at his people's lives that have been filled with sin and failure and iniquities. He looks at the life of his beloved Son which is their righteousness. You know, we might look back over our lives, I often do, and I can't forget sins and things that I've done even 40 years ago. And how can God forget that? And yes, I trust I've repented, and if it's been against people, I've begged their forgiveness and received it, but I can't forget what I've done. And often it sinks me down very low. I think, what if these all got to come up at the judgment day? All have got to be made known to everyone. How can I bear that thought? The hearts of all men made known. But for the Lord's dear people, he says that I have removed thy sins as far as the east is from the west. They have been put into the land of forgetfulness. But in the place of his people's life is his son's life. And that's a wonderful thought, a blessed thought, to appear in the presence of God, not in the deeds that you and I have done in our lifetime, but in Christ's deeds, in Christ's obedience clothed, and washed me in his blood. It is Christ's blood that puts away our sin. That is what makes us truly clean. But the robes of that which we must stand in the presence of God is his righteousness, is really his walk, his path, the way he walked here below. That which he did is to be made ours. And so that is why we can lift up our head with joy amongst the sons of God. That's how we can appear faultless before the throne. Not because we have been faultless here in our lives, we have not. But in Christ's obedience, then we are faultless. It is vital for us that that is our trust and that is our hope. And yet each one of us, we like the Lord Jesus Christ, we must walk through this world. The truth is that those that God calls, those that he has pardoned and forgiven, then he will sanctify them. He will cleanse their walk and their conduct. It won't be an indifferent thing, an unimportant thing, how they walk through this world. They won't say, well, it doesn't matter, I'm going to stand before God in Christ's righteousness. It doesn't matter how I walk. It does matter, because the Lord will sanctify, he will cleanse the walk of his dear people so that they will want to do that which is right. And by his grace, they will walk in his ways. But they are sinners still, and that's not their hope of heaven, nor how they hope to appear before God. But they do it for love's sake. They do it because they hate evil and they love righteousness and they love the Lord and want to be clearly seen walking in his paths and in his ways, and that there be no doubts about whose they are, whom they serve, and where they are heading. But our Lord, he gave that example. And Peter, he did not want to have his feet washed. The Lord said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. In other words, if thou art not sanctified, then thou hast no part with me. If thou have not the washing of regeneration and the change in your life, thou hast no part with me. And the other aspect of that as well, you and I, through our lives, because Peter, when he found that out, he wanted everything washed. But our Lord says, no, just the feet. And as we walk through this life, our profession, our lives, everything, it gets dirtied with sin. The things we go into, the things we do, the things we're involved with, we constantly need washing, renewing, cleansing, forgiven, turned again into the right way when it's been the wrong way. And there'll be those things that have been done that the brethren seen. The Lord said to the disciples, I've given you an example. I've washed your feet. I'm your Lord and Master. And yet I've so humbled myself to wash your feet. You do the same with your brethren. When you see a brother fall and slip into sin and they do things that are wrong, say things that are wrong, you wash their feet. Consider yourself that you also are a sinner and that in your walk and your conduct you will do things that are wrong as well. And when they repent, you forgive them and you show them a way back. You kindly speak to them. Yes, you reprove them, but you show them mercy and kindness. And the importance of how we walk through this life, whose we are, whom we serve. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that way has pathways to it. You know, in the woods near us, you can go several ways through those woods. You might go a straight way through, you might go around one side or around the other way. But as you're walking in those ways, you're walking on paths. Some of them are wide paths. Some of them are very narrow paths. Some are very muddy paths. Some are very rough. The paths are actually where you're putting your feet. But those paths make up a way that you're going. And you're looking narrowly unto that path and where you're putting your feet. And it makes up those individual steps that lead in the way that you're going. And our desire should be that we are actually in the way of the Lord, and the paths that we are walking in are actually in the paths of the Lord and not in the paths of the wicked one. And so what we have in our text is to ponder or think very carefully about the path of our feet. It may be looked at in a way of warning for the people of God, and certainly the Lord has used it in my case. When I've been in a wrong path, the Lord has used this word. Ponder the path of thy feet, and has brought me up sharp. And think, what am I doing? Why am I going in this way? This is not the right way that I'm walking. And to take heed to that warning and turn back from it. But the other way is when the Lord is leading his people in those right paths, that there is a real benefit and blessing and comfort in thinking of those paths and actually looking at what is going on and where the Lord is causing you to walk. Maybe very bitter, maybe very perplexing paths, but in considering of it, the lessons are not lost, and there is actually hope and there's comfort in that path that we are to go. So I want to look, firstly, I want to take the words of the text here, ponder the path of thy feet, and take the phrases in actually in the backward way. Firstly, looking at thy feet as our first point. And then the second point, the path. And the third point, the ponder. So ponder the path of thy feet, but looking at it in the backward way. So firstly, thy feet. That is, putting it in a personal way. Thinking of it how it was with the disciples and the Lord washing their feet. You and I have a path for our feet. So it's not pointing to someone else, it's pointing to you, pointing to me, how we walk through this world. I wonder how many of us have had to face that, have been pointed to that, and we've had to really think of the way that we are going, not someone else. Remember years ago when I was an apprentice, quite young, only 16 or 17, and in the workshop at the hospital, and we wanted safety footwear, we wanted, instead of going to A&E, we wanted a first aid cabinet and things like that. And I was the representative on the safety committee, and so was my chief engineer. Well, the workshop wanted these things, and I went, and all the other heads of the department of the hospital were there, and I managed to get what we wanted, and I was very smug about it. I'd got over the top of my engineer, and in all of his peer groups and the heads of the department, I got what we wanted for the workshop. But what I forgot was that he was my engineer, and I was accountable to him. And afterwards, he came into that workshop, and he came straight for me, and I almost instinctively hid behind the two fitters that were my fitters, and I was the apprentice. No, he said, it's you I want. And I've never forgotten that feeling. I couldn't shelter behind anyone else. I was accountable for what I had done and what I had been pleased with had done, but now I had to face that angry engineer. And just that realisation, I stood alone, accountable for how I'd walked, what I'd spoken, what I'd done. And each one of us must at last before God be accountable unto God. How have we walked? What paths have we gone in? How have we trodden? How have we listened to warning, to admonition? How have we been instructed in the ways of the Lord? We shall have to give an account. Thy feet, not someone else's. Where have your feet been going? Maybe even in this past week. Maybe not just your feet. Your thoughts, your ways, your whole life. Where you've actually been walking. You might think, oh yeah, overall, I'm a Christian. But no, where have your feet been going? Where's actually your life going? Because you can have an overall that seems right, but the actual footsteps, those are not right. Those are walking in ways that are the ways of the wicked. And those that are not in the paths of the Lord's people, ponder the path of thy feet. So looking at ways that you've actually been walking in, the things that you've been occupying your time, the things that you've been looking at, the things you've been meditating in, the company that you have been keeping, the use of your time, whether in reading the Word of God, in prayer, in the house of God, the whole thing that makes up your life, if you look at each little step of that, we're to think carefully about these steps. Where are they leading? Where are they going? Are they steps that you'd be ashamed of to be proclaimed even before the world, or steps that you know the Lord would not approve of? What doest thou here? And so maybe make this in a personal way. And don't think we just speak to older ones here, you children as well. Thy feet, the things you do, things you say, and the things you walk in. Ponder the path of thy feet. Nobly, wherever there is the real work of God and the blessing in a soul, it will become for that soul very, very personal. And you'll lose sight of others. And what will be so much for you is your own soul and your own path. It's a bad sign, really, in a way where there's a looking at everyone else. But when it comes to your own sin, here on my heart the burden lies. Past offences pain mine eyes. How many of you have had to face yourself and to look at your own works and your own ways. Thy feet. We want to look then, secondly, of the word the path. And the scriptures speak of several paths. In fact, it's very clear we have, even in the context here, the path of the wicked. The apostle speaks of in Ephesians that those are the Lord's dear people, that they were once walking according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, that worketh now in the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There is that way that we are born and we enter into this world and we walk in the path of that way. Walk in the path after our own eyes, after our own wisdom, and the course of this world, the course of sin. But the scripture then speaks of the ways of the Lord. And as soon as it then speaks in that way, we have some clear indications of what we are to expect. When it speaks of the gospel, it speaks of the gospel as being a highway. And in the prophet Isaiah, again and again, it speaks of the highway of holiness, the highway of uprightness, the highway of the Lord. A highway is not a narrow path. The picture there is a wide path, a broad path. And wherever it's spoken of, it is to make that which is crooked straight, the mountains a plain, make the rough places to be smooth. And the way of the gospel is that wherever the gospel is, there's to be no hindrances. When the gospel is proclaimed, the desire is that the word have free course and be glorified. There not be an obstacle race. That the way of the Lord is a direct and a clear way. We have the picture of the cities of refuge, and those that had slayed a man unawares, they had to flee to that city of refuge unless the manslayer overtook them. And they had to be very straight, clearly marked ways. And we may be sure on this, the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, is a way that is plain to those that read it. It is a clear way. Really, it could be summed up in this, the words of our dear Lord. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you cannot get anything more simple and more straight than that. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. You know, you might get, and the devil will try to confuse with all sorts of doctrines and different denominations and different thoughts and everything. You know, often I say with the children at school when I bring them the Bible and tell them what the Bible is, it's the word of God, it comes from heaven, this is all that we know as revealed to us from God. So if you have this blessed book, you read it and pray over it, and the Lord teach you through it, you don't need to know what everyone else is saying. You will not be deceived by other people because you know directly from the Lord what the truth is. And so the gospel, it is to be proclaimed and pointed so very, very clearly to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall perish in your sins. He is the way of life to his dear people. And no minister is to put stumbling blocks and hindrances in the way. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's for sinners, and it's for mercy, and it's by grace. And so that's one way that the way is spoken of. If you and I are walking in the paths of the gospel, there will be very clear paths to Christ, clear in the mercy of God, the grace of God, and there won't be that which is in it which will stumble and hinder your soul. There'll be that which goes straight unto Christ. You hear the voice of the Lord to those that are laboring, that are heavy laden. What does he say? Well, go to this physician or go to that physician. No, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. And the gospel clearly points to the Lord Jesus Christ and to mercy through his blood. But then also we think of that beautiful word in Psalm 107. He led them forth by the right way. He led them forth by the right way that they might go unto a city of habitation. The Lord leads his dear people. And you know, if the Lord leads his dear people, then it is that they put their feet in his footsteps. He has gone before them and they follow him. When he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. And that is a very precious way of knowing and of considering the path that we're going, because we may expect that we see the Lord going before. And we see described in the Word of God that which we also experience and feel and go before and are taught in the Lord Jesus Christ. He led them forth by the right way, not a wrong way, a right way. You might have many things you can't understand why you've had to walk a certain path, or why this has happened, or why that has happened. But if you and I discern that the Lord has led us in that way, that providence has unfolded the book and made his counsel shine, then you can be sure it's the right way, though we might not see it right at the time. It's a blessed thing to be numbered amongst the sheep of God that are a led people. We may refer to this a bit later. But also, and we've sung of this, I really marvelled at looking at the first two hymns we've sung and the subject that was upon my spirit. The narrow way that leadeth unto life. You might say, well, how is that consistent with the highway, the broad way? But this is how the scripture, it looks at first from one way and then from another way. So as far as the gospel, it's a highway, it's a clear way clearly set up. But as far as that which is walked, it's a narrow way. Why is it? There's a broad way. Many there go in there at, but the narrow way. Why? It is within the confines of the leading and teaching of the Lord. And in that way, the Lord holds his people in the way that he'd have them to go. And to wander out of that way is very, very easy. It's so easy to go from presumption on the one hand to then, on the other hand, just fatalism, just saying, well, no, there's nothing that I can do. It's all election, it's all of God. Another hand would be just all of works and working as if it was salvation was on our works. And it's so easy to verge from one way to another. And it is the Lord that will hold his people in that narrow and then in that right way that leads unto life. There's only one way of truth, but there's many, many ways of evil and wrong ways. Sometimes, and some of my young people have asked me, well, is it right to learn about other religions? Shouldn't we know about them so we need to be able to counter them? Well, the children of Israel were forbidden to learn the ways of the heathen. They weren't to inquire how did they worship these idols, because the danger was that they would follow in them and they would go in them. But you know, if you know the truth, then everything that doesn't come up to that, you'll know that that is error. If you have a spirit level, you only need one good spirit level, and you'll be able to tell every wall that's not straight and every surface that's not flat, because you've got one level that you know is right. And if you know the truth, the Lord said to those that believed on him, continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There is some instances where it is good to know where those are coming from. You know, because the Jehovah's Witnesses coming to the door were used by God in my conversion, I've always a desire and prayer that the Lord would use me to convert them. And so there are the things that I do know of what they hold, and that helps me in talking to them when they come to the door, because in some cases that I can know more about what they believe than what they do. And by asking them the right questions, it makes them think as well. And we can learn from that to ponder the path of our feet, the things that we testify and read and know. But it is only the Lord that will keep us in the narrow way, and he will lead us in the right way. That is the way unto eternal life. When the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, they had the fiery, cloudy pillar to go before them. And every step and every way they walked, they were led by that pillar. When they came to the end of the journey, what was said, and Joshua said to the people, ye have not walked this way heretofore. They were to go through Jordan. Jordan was a type of death. It was between the wilderness and the promised land. And the ark of God on the shoulders of the Levites was to go through first. And they were to have a long space between the people and the ark so that they saw the way that they were to walk. And all of us, we have that path to walk at some stage, to go through death, to walk through it, step by step through it. And it's a blessed thing if we know what it is to follow the Lord in life. And so when we come to death, he says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. You won't walk that path on your own. I will come and receive you, that where I am, there ye may be also. The scriptures are not silent as to the path the people of God are to walk. And especially in the gospel, it is a very clear and marked out path. And the Lord is the way, and he leads his people and his sheep in it. Well, thinking of that then, let us look at the word ponder. Ponder the path of thy feet. Where thou art treading, where thou art going, think carefully upon it. So I want to look at several points that will help us to rightly ponder in this way. And the first thing we may ask ourselves is the way that we are walking, is it a scriptural way? Is it a right way? Is it the way described in the Word of God as that will actually lead to heaven, lead to peace, lead to the Lord himself at last? Ask yourself that. Consider carefully the things that you are doing, where I'm putting my steps, the way that the course that I am traveling. Is it likely to end my soul in peace in heaven, Or is it that I am gradually, step by step, going away from the truth, away into forbidden paths, away into that which is going to lead me irretrievably away from the things of God? How solemn that it is, step by step. You might say the thin end of the wedge. One little thing first, and then another little thing. And this is why we're to ponder the path of thy feet, because there are many that, if you ask them at the start, or have no intention of completely forsaking the ways of the Lord, but by step they do. And so we may ask ourselves and ponder that. Is it a scriptural way? Do we see the footsteps of the flock? Do we see the Lord going before? Do we see that our path is described in the Word of God? That's a great blessing when we see that it actually is. You may also ponder and think, is it consistent with the way that the Lord has directed us before? When the Lord puts forth his sheep and he sets them forth in the right way, like he did with Solomon, he gave him clear commands. Twice he appeared to him. And Solomon didn't need to have that reiterated. You and I might be directed years ago into ways of holiness and ways that we are to go. The Lord doesn't need to keep on reiterating that. With Solomon, if only he had pondered the path of his feet, all his wives and the houses he made for them and their gods that he did, if he'd have thought back, the Lord had said, no, you don't walk in that way. You cleave to me. But he didn't. And wife after wife and idol after idol and house after house, he walked in that way. And so we are to ponder and think of this. Are we walking in a way that is contrary to the way that the Lord had told us to go, whether it's providence or in grace? Ponder the path of thy feet. Is it consistent with the promise? Is it what the Lord had spoken to you years ago? Or are you going away from that? We mentioned before about the Lord putting forth his sheep. And one thing to really ponder is this. Are we being led, or are we actually going before? We have in Isaiah the word, thou shalt hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. Some will quote that and say, well, this is the Lord's direction. Well, if the Lord is going before his people, how can it be a word behind? There's only two ways. One is it's not the Lord's voice at all, that is Satan, it's some other voice that you're hearing. And the other is that actually, and this is the context that it is in, you've wandered out of the way. And you've gone before the Lord. You haven't waited for him. You've made the decision. You've gone. And the voice that then you hear is behind you. Don't go before the Lord in a matter. Watch for the Lord to go before. When the children of Israel went through the wilderness, they didn't just decide, we're going to move to this place and let's hope that the cloud and the fiery pillar follows us. The cloudy pillar moved and they followed that. And we're to pray and we're to watch God's providence. We're to see the Lord open up the way, not just decide ourselves. You know, James, he says, get to ye that say we'll go into the city and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you don't know what is going to happen. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. And very often the Lord does change about his what we think is going to happen and turns it around. And so in that way, one thing we are to especially ponder is when the Lord does that, ponder the path of thy feet. We might have thought, well, this is how these few days are going to pan out. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do this and this and this. But then it doesn't happen like that. Sickness comes, affliction comes, plans are changed. Instead of doing one thing, we're doing another thing. Instead of being found in one place where we thought we were, we're found in another place. And we think, well, providence is very different than what I thought it would be. Why is this? What is the Lord doing? What's the Lord's purpose in this? He doesn't do it for no purpose. And so you're watching providence. You're watching providences affecting you and your life. You think, what is the Lord doing? Why has he chosen to do this? And I'm found walking in paths I never expected. I never expected that trouble. I never expected to be made redundant there. I never expected to have an affliction of a loved one. I never expected to have that car accident. I never expected to have that obstacle in my employment. And it's changed our feet. And you think, what is the Lord doing? And you ponder it and you think over it. You know, we might have things like dear Mary, when she heard of her son, when she heard what the shepherds said. She kept all these things in her heart. She pondered them. No doubt it was 30 years or so until her son, our Lord, had died, risen again, and the Spirit given, that she could clearly see what all of these things meant. It might be with us that when we ponder something, you don't know the answer. But it causes an exercise and a burden. I've no doubt when dear Joseph set off to do his father's bidding, to go and see his brothers, he thought he'd go and see his brothers and come home to his father again. But no, he ends up in the pit and he ends up sold and he ends up falsely accused. He ends up in Egypt. He ends up in the prison. All those paths of his feet were taken out of his hand. And we read with Joseph that until his time came, the word of the Lord tried him. He no doubt pondered the path of his feet. He hadn't chosen that. But later on, he's able so clearly to say, was not you, speaking to his brothers, that sent me hither, but God, to preserve your lives by a great deliverance. But for him personally, it had been step by step, painful step by painful step. And it might be with some of you as well. Painful steps, perplexing steps, steps taken out of your hand. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let it be an exercise. Let it be the subject of your prayers as to what the Lord is doing and how the Lord is working in these things. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. When we also think of paths, we are to consider the actual dangers. I mentioned before about the walking in the woods, and I do it regularly, and in many different paths. In some places, in the recent rains, the slipperiness of those paths, you had to really think, and it changed how you actually walk when you realise how dangerous, how slippery that paths. And are there not times in our lives that they are really dangerous times? There are times we really have to watch what we say, what we think, the influences that we're coming into, and we go very carefully and very slowly in those places. Other times you might come and it's very dry places, very clear, and you think, I don't have to go slowly now. I can really move. I can really put my pace on now. And you're actually pondering, you're thinking of the path of your feet and regulating how you walk, how quick you walk, according to what it is. You think of the narrow path and maybe stingers and nettles all the way around. You take heed. In a natural, the illustration that's here, we all the time, if we're walking in a literal way, we're taking stock of what is around us and we're taking heed and taking warning. Ponder the path of thy feet And so we are to be mindful. We're in the world, we're not of it. We have devil as a roaring lion. We have him that cometh in as an angel of light. We have false brethren. You have this way that seemeth right unto a man. You have those times that it seems that there's snares on every hand. And we are to really ponder that. Consider what the dangers are. It's a very foolish person that would think there's no danger. Over in Australia, if you're walking through, and the time that this actually word dropped into my heart, a real warning, I was going through long grass, it was summertime, and automatically there, you're looking, you're scanning every step you put, because the snakes, they hide in the grass there, you tread on them, and they're all deadly over there. So you do it automatically. And so looking down at my feet, and that's where the word just dropped in, ponder the path of thy feet. But you're taking into account, you think over there, they've got the snakes. When I went to New Zealand, and I was doing the same thing, unknown, I'm not unconsciously doing it, and the person I was with said, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you keep looking when you're walking. I said, well, just looking for snakes. He said, we don't have any snakes, poisonous spiders or anything in New Zealand. He said, you don't need to do that. You can just walk through the grass. Well, that was strange to me. But in life, and especially in spiritual ways, then we need to be very mindful that we are in an enemy's land, and that we do need to watch where we put our feet and where we go. And so then, following on from that, what about the usefulness to others? You know, the experience that we have, then is not that when Peter was told, Satan hath desired to have thee, to sift thee as wheat, when thou art converted, he says, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. In other words, the path that you are to walk, Peter, when you're restored, you strengthen your brethren. You read those epistles of Peter, and he's strengthening tempted, tried brethren. The warnings that he gives of Satan and of the temptations and of the dangers of the way, they come from his own experience. And so the path that we walk, when we ponder the path that we walk, you see another brethren, you go back to John 13 about washing one another's feet, think, that happened to me. How I can help that? Dear brother, that sister in faith, I can help them in their trouble because you've pondered, you thought, this is the path that I have walked also. And so it's a pondering it as well, is actually learning from it and being instructed. We lose much instruction because you don't think about it. The end of Psalm 107. And in that Psalm 107, again and again, you're hearing of the paths of the feet of the Lord's people in the places that they're going. And they fall down and there's none to help. And then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Every time the turning point was the crying unto the Lord, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them. And at the end of that psalm you read, whoso is wise and will observe these things. You could put it another way, whoso is wise and will ponder these things, think carefully about them, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. There's that in the Lord's dealings with his people that is to be understood. I say that to you, those of you who may be in bitter paths, you may be like Mara, you may be like Naomi, who says, call me Mara, not Naomi, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. But in the end of that matter, how blessed she was, and in the line to Christ it was. And those bitter waters that cannot be drunk, to have the tree cast in, and they can, to have the Lord Jesus Christ cast into them, what a difference that makes. ponder the path of thy feet. We began with speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ coming and the path that he walked. One of the blessings of the people of God is to have fellowship with him and in his sufferings. And the Lord would do that by bringing his people to walk in his footsteps, led by him. The trials that they have, the tribulations, in the world ye shall have tribulation, each one appointed by God. But in me ye shall have peace. And in that path then, in pondering the path of our feet, to think, the Lord went this path. This is what he endured for me. When we have someone perhaps forsake us, a good friend, they all forsook him and fled. Paul said, no man stood by me. I pray that God will know it not to their charge. Paul knew something of the path of the Lord. And so in Hebrews 12, that we are to consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In other words, not only consider carefully or ponder your path, but consider the Lord's path. And you'll consider the Lord's path through what he brings you into. You'll learn more of the dear Lord and his sufferings for you by what he brings you into than ever you will through just the written word. It will be by experience. It will be by walking it out. And by being brought into fellowship with him in his sufferings. If the Lord is to take up the cross for you, he says those that follow him will also take up the cross. If the Lord must through much tribulation, so must his dear children. And they're learned and taught in that way. We've sung of it. We've sung of the need of not just learning it by word, but by experience. And so if the Lord is leading you and I in his paths, it will be by experience, and the blessing and profit from it will be pondering it, meditating, considering it well, and then we'll have that real profit and also be kept from wrong and evil ways. Well, may the Lord bless us and bless us in paths that we may not fully understand and yet be profited in walking in them. Ponder the path of thy feet. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day for the Christians Institute amounted to £1,320, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Wheatley will address the Sunday School this afternoon, Mr. Sayers will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Henry Mercer next Lord's Day. And our friends at Oakington hold their anniversary service on Wednesday evening, God willing. Let us close with hymn 904. O Lord, with shame I do confess my universal emptiness, my poverty and pride. I cannot keep thee in my sight, nor can I think one thought aright, unless thy Spirit guide. Hymn 904.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.